You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. World of Work.
For our World of Work feature today, we are discussing internships and the impact that COVID-19 and the restrictions, lockdown restrictions, have had on internship programs. Many of these have been cancelled due to COVID-19, even for people who would often want to come and shadow you as you go about your work. They're not allowed to do that in many companies because, you know, companies are not allowing people except its employees or their employees to be accessing the building. So that has an impact on internships. So how can companies accommodate interns, right? Can they move that online? How effective would that be? Apparently, there are some internships that have moved online. I wonder how effective they are. Maybe you can give us a call if you are part of an internship program that has gone online, or maybe you have been affected, right? Maybe you've been wanting to get an internship or into an internship program, but you've been struggling, and often the reason you're given is COVID-19 and the restrictions that are applying. So I want to hear from you if you are an intern or you've successfully completed a program, or you're still trying to apply, or maybe you're an employer and you've had to take some tough decisions around whether or not you allow internship programs to continue and what the limitations are. Give me a call or send us a voice note or an SMS. I'll take those in this half hour. Let's bring in Anya van Beek, who is a talent strategist at the leadership and also leadership expert and executive coach. Anya, always great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Clement. It's always lovely to talk to you.
Yeah, so we've seen in many companies the impact of COVID-19 and the lockdown restrictions on internships. I've just given an example of how even here at Prime Media, you know, there were people coming to even shadow us, you know. They can't anymore because there are restrictions in place. The company, you know, has even reduced the number of people working from the building. So that has an impact on them. What have you observed? How big has the impact been?
Yeah, it's such an important point that you've mentioned now, and I think COVID has definitely impacted internships. And I think it really depends from industry to industry, and obviously the type of work that they're doing. But the trend that I have seen is that many internships went virtual where possible. A lot of people shortened their internships. And then some people actually reduce, as you've mentioned correctly, the number of people that they take on board for internships. And I think it largely depends also if it's an internship program that the organization might have been running for quite some time. So a lot of the organizations usually appoint you, say, for a one-year period, and that is the whole internships. And that is where I've seen people move online because, I mean, it's already a contract in place. They're already part of the organization. But I think, as you've rightfully pointed out, those where people come in and shadow you for a week or a day or a shorter time frame, I think that has definitely been impacted. And it's so sad because that's really taking away that opportunity from people to really just give them some exposure to, you know, what the real world of work will be like, and if that's the career path that they really want to continue with. And for the companies, I think the negative side is that internships is always a wonderful opportunity to just have a look who's the talent out there, what is in the talent pipeline, and if they can spot, you know, young professional or young talent to take on board on a more permanent basis. But yeah, as you say, definitely people going virtual, people reducing the numbers, and then lastly, a few internships that I've been aware of that have been, you know, stopped altogether.
Yeah. How effective are online internships? So, I mean, a lot of companies, as you've indicated, are moving online. I mean, they're working from home, but there are certain, you know, jobs that require you to be physically at work. In those instances, I mean, when you go virtual, how effective is it really? Because what you want someone who is an internship program to get is not just the skills and see how you go about your normal work, but they need to experience the culture of the organization as well.
Yeah, and I think that's the unfortunate point of what, you know, what goes missing. So let's have a look on the positive. The positive, they say, well, we prepare you for the future of work, which might be more hybrid going forward. But I think to your point, it's so essential to think that people does not see how we interact, does not see how we handle conflict, does not see, you know, perhaps have that easy access to your mentor to say, I've just experienced this, please guide me, please support me going forward. Having said that, I think when we go virtual, it's so important for the organization to think how are they going to communicate more effectively with the interns, because I think communication is key. I read an article where one intern mentioned that the program was canceled and there was few dates that was changed, and she was not even aware of that. So I think over-communicating is once again so important for us when we think of going virtually. But it's also important for people to consider that, I mean, you now need to be more motivated. If you virtually, that individual, whoever is responsible for the internship, you don't necessarily have the luxury of meeting the other interns, or, as you said, being in the work where you can experience the culture. So that work, almost the motivation needs to be coming from yourself, your internal motivation. And what we see is, so important, because they don't have that office environment to have, you know, informal meetings, to have social events. It's critical for the organization even to focus on that part, to say, but how can we introduce them to the leaders? Can we perhaps have some webinars, or what are we able to introduce instead of having that face-to-face interaction? And some people, I remember when we're doing onboarding and talk about virtual onboarding, they've created something like a virtual CEO meeting. And very similar with the interns, to say, what alternatives are you going to put in place is to give them that little bit of exposure. And what I have seen is that people say, you know what, the virtual internships is still valuable. It's still something that you can put on your CV. Obviously, any exposure is good. However, I think it is different, and that will depend on the individual. I mean, do you ask for feedback? Do you make sure that they give, when they give you an instruction and you don't understand, that you actually speak up and you know, talk about that? So I think very similar to what we have seen with work, start working remotely, is applicable in the internships as well.
Yeah, I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to take calls from our listeners. Anya, I've got some that are sending us questions as well. If you've got questions, and maybe you want some tips, right, as an employer, about how you can adjust your internship program without necessarily it affecting that program so much that people are then are losing the opportunity to come and learn some skills and learn the culture of the organization. If you've got some questions around that, give us a call. If you want to share your experience with how you've dealt with interns in your company, maybe you are an intern, maybe you're trying to apply for internship, I'll take any question you have around this on 011-883-0702, or send me an SMS or a WhatsApp voice note.
Bye. 702 World of Work.
8 minutes after 11 o'clock. For our World of Work today, we're talking about the impact of COVID-19 and restrictions on interns, on internship programs, and I'm taking your calls on 011-883-0702. Some voice notes as well coming through as well, so let's play this one.
I could do it, Clement. Well, I'm currently part of an internship right now, currently working for like a telecoms company. So yeah, I'm currently working from home. So, and I think I see myself working from home for the foreseeable future, up until the end of the internship, I guess, and all of my colleagues also. So it's been a good opportunity for us to get this chance to be part of an internship. I know from my previous dealings or talks with some of my friends, some of them were let off last year with regards to internships and COVID and all of that. But yeah, it's been good, man. It's been good. The only problem is the money. If we can just talk about the 3.5 that's allocated to interns, which from what I've heard, for my talent acquisition shouldn't be used for rent, then I think we need an increase or an honest conversation about that. Thank you.
Yeah, and Anya, that's always the issue, right? The money that is often paid for interns, because there's no specified amount of money, right, that companies are required to pay. But there are some companies that will say, no, you can intern, but we're not paying anything. You know, some say we can give you a stipend, but that, is there an expectation, I mean, from a company to pay a stipend?
Yeah, so that's such an important question. And I remember when I was still head of HR, it was something that we actually had many conversations about, because I think that on the one side, you say, you know what, I'm giving you exposure, I'm giving you some experience, and you don't necessarily have anything to offer, if I can call it as such. I think being a human-centric organization, we need to be mindful of supporting the people to get on their feet. I think there's, according to me, there's no regulation that say you need to pay this. Mm. But I think it's just a future-fit organization that will take care even of the interns in the organization. And I was smiling when Sia mentioned the amount of money, because I imagine, I mean, getting to work, okay, they are working remotely now. But I mean, there's other standard costs that you need to cover. Mm. And thinking that you get exposure to so many other people in the pipeline, I definitely believe that we should take care of our interns. Obviously, budgets are tight. COVID has had an impact on many companies. I mean, he mentioned the example of other interns that was the programs that was ended. So we do appreciate that companies are struggling, but I think longer term. It's not only about now. And if you think longer term and that you can keep your program running, at least be, I would say, future fit and think of what is the amount of money that we can pay them.
Yeah, especially
meet
when
them halfway.
Yeah, sometimes the companies have like crazy expectations, like you must be at work at this time, but how am I getting there? Right?
Yeah,
sometimes there are no taxis getting there. I need to Uber, or I need someone to drop me off. So if you're not even like helping me out with getting to work at the very least, then that's
and
a problem.
And I think now that we virtually, just think of the cost of data. And I mean, we're now doing everything virtually. So it's wonderful that it is virtual. But I mean, if there's any interaction, do they support you then with the data or whatever additional cost you now might have because it's virtual?
Yeah. Let's listen to some more voice notes.
Hi, Clement Tibelo here from Orange Farm. Can I ask, in terms of these internships, in terms of the duration, for how long do they have to issue, like a contract? It should be for how long? Because you know what, we've got some companies where you find that they give you a 12-month contract, and then after that, it's contract 6 months. After that, it's contract 6 months. I feel like most companies are just running away from employing people permanently and paying them what they deserve. Thank you.
Yeah, Anya?
Yeah, that's such an important question to consider, because the internship, the ones that I have been exposed to, was for a period of 12 months. And after that, I mean, even before the 12 months expire, they actually mentioned to you that we might have so many permanent positions and we're going to select the people that we can offer permanent positions for. Having said that, what you've mentioned, that after the 12 months, they just extend another fixed-term contract or whatever for 6 months and then another extension. According to me, that's not the best labor practice, and it's actually giving an expectation that you might be appointed on a more permanent basis. So I would be very, very mindful when I'm an intern to actually, when they just continue extending that, to just go and have a look at what's your rights, because according to me, that's not the best way to handle this. It should, it's usually a year contract, depending again on your industry or what the internship is all about.
Yeah. Here's another voice note.
Hi, Clements. It's Chad in Joburg here. So I have tried in the past to apply for the SAPS internship, and I'm still trying to apply at this stage. And it's very difficult because of the very COVID restrictions that you've mentioned. And it's very hard to take something like that online because training needs to be done at the actual barracks. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for that. Let me take this call as well from Norman, who's calling us from Roodepoort. Norman, good morning.
Norman, how are you?
Good, how's it?
The issue to me, every system and people's intentions are good, but you always have the devil people that wants to abuse us. There's a lot of employers that abuse the system of the internship. They don't fill post anymore because they use this internship as a substitute for the profit that they need to make. And that is a huge problem, even within the government sectors as well, where people don't do their job anymore. The internships are becoming the best. And lastly, is that if the jobs are available, then they take the internships that are currently there and they don't open it up for them. See, that's the problem that you have. People will abuse the system more than the intention is to skill a lot of people. And then you'll find out the last people that are there are the family that is brought into the internship. They will get a job. They don't give it open and give the best people a competition or give the people opportunity to come and compete for the job. Thank you very much for your work.
All right, Norman. Yeah, Norman, thank you so much for your call. Norman calling from Rodeport. Anya, can you challenge it as an intern? Like, once you've interned for like 3 years or whatever long, and
according to me, that's just not very good labor practice. And I actually wanted to ask Norman if it's like, if they, after a year, if they actually get new interns, because that is my understanding. So it's almost as if they don't really focus on the building the capacity in the organization, but rather look for a cheap option to do the labor. And I think with all due respect to a graduate or someone that's an intern, is you're still in the learning phase. And I don't think it is good for companies to really just focus on the interns and not, appoint the permanent roles. But I think, again, as we said, that if it's an internship that has lapsed and they're just extending the contract, I would definitely suggest to those interns to go and have a look, what is your rights? Because as soon as there's an expectation that it becomes a permanent position, you can actually explore that alternative. But if it's an organization where after the year they just get new interns, after a year they just get another group, I'm sure that is, unfortunately, then, as Norman mentioned, how they misuse the system, especially if they don't fill the permanent role.
Here's another voice note.
Hi, I just wanted to send a voice note regarding the internship. I am actually in my last year of my software engineering degree, and my university requires us for the fourth year essentially to have an internship in order to finish our honors degree, as well as writing our thesis. So when I was looking for a job and everything like that, we also have a bunch of career days. It is sort of an expected thing that we get paid, because it is a paid internship. The company I got a opportunity to work at next year is actually an amazing company, because they treat their interns so well, and I'm going to be getting paid quite well. And it's actually a more permanent position. They don't see their interns really as interns. So even after my first year, I will still be able to have the opportunity to stay with them for a while. So I think it's one of those privileged things. But I definitely know also with the rest of my colleagues or university friends, they also are getting internships sort of that are either a year or also kind of a permanent thing. So I think, I don't know if that's specific to the IT sector specifically, but yes, that is how we're going about it.
Oh, that's great. I'm so happy for you. So Anya, it looks like with some companies, there's a lot of fairness that's considered.
Yeah, definitely. And it was so lovely to hear the excitement of this job opportunity for her. And that's great, because I mean, as you said, there's just so many other examples of people that really treat the interns fair, not necessarily paying them a good salary, but at least give them the exposure to complete her honors and the masters that you referred to as well. So yeah, let's build on that and be more responsible employers to support more interns.
No, indeed. Thank you for making time, Anya. Always great chatting to you, Anya van Beek, talent strategist, leadership expert, and executive coach.